You're listening to Flip Empire, the show committed to helping real estate entrepreneurs who want to build their empire without sacrificing their life. Your success and freedom starts now with your host, Alex Pardo.
Welcome, welcome. This is episode 501. My name is Alex Pardo, and you are listening to the Flip Empire show. Before we dive into today's content, I wanted to thank those of you who have taken a few minutes out of your busy schedule or out of your valuable time to leave a five-star rating and reviews in Apple Podcasts. It means a lot. Really want to just recognize you and appreciate you for taking that time. I notice it, and I'm grateful for it. So aside from that, a couple of housekeeping things. Make sure, if you didn't get an opportunity to celebrate with me when the show came out, check out episode 500. It's on Apple Podcasts. It's on Spotify, SoundCloud, Stitcher, all the podcasting platforms. It was a milestone that I'm just extremely very happy and very fulfilled. And it was just kind of a joyous moment. And I wanted to go ahead and share that with you. And what I did in that particular episode is I talked about five things that I've learned and or have been validated for me in the last 5 years since I launched the Flip Empire show. So kind of a five theme there going on. Make sure to check it out, episode 500. And the other thing I want to share with you is I've had some people reaching out to me. More people are taking notice about my journey in the self-storage world. And it's been a fun one. There's been a little bit of a learning curve. And now I've really rolled up my sleeves. I had about 1,014 letters go out, invitation style envelope, handwritten, return address, mailing address, wet ink signature. And that went out to mom and pop operators that have self-storage facilities that are at least 10,000 square feet or larger in the Southeast region. And I have about a little bit over a 1% response rate. So the response rate is not anything in particular to write home about, but having said that, 90% of those leads that came in, so about 9-10 of them, are quality leads. One or two of them, there's some strong, strong potential. So I will continue to keep you posted on my journey with storage. Again, the first month and a half was kind of spent just getting myself educated, consuming some content, talking to the right people, but I'm making strong connections in conversations with facility owners, with some brokers, with some wholesalers. So with that being said, if you come across any self-storage opportunities, whether it's on LoopNet or Crexy, or you hear it from maybe a residential realtor that gets it listed on the MLS, believe it or not, that actually happens. Or if you just know of one in your town that's mom and pop operated and run, let me know. I'd love to figure out a way that we can make the deal work together. Or maybe it's, we can figure something creatively out, obviously, that's legal, that makes sense. But I am looking to purchase some facilities. I'm looking to potentially joint venture or partner with the right people. So whatever you got, send it my way, alex@flipempire.com. And we will go from there. So let's get into the content for episode 501. I had a coaching call recently, and it struck me that I probably need to devote some more time to sharing content around stress testing deals to make sure that when you get a property under contract, that 8-9 out of 10 times that property is actually getting to the closing table. We spend so much time, but wholesalers in particular spend so much time, money and energy on marketing and generating leads and getting on the phone, hiring team members, following up, setting appointments, having appointments canceled, following back up, going on appointments, whether it's face to face or on the phone. Give me kind of the nod, even though I don't see you. Give me a nod if you feel me, if you understand what I'm saying. There's so much that goes into making sure that we get deals and grabbing quality deals so that we can make some money and we can put out deals to our end. The fix and flip investors or the buy and hold investors. So much goes into that process. And what's really, really painful is when we spend all this money and all this time and we finally get a property under contract for the seller to have seller's remorse or for that deal to fall apart for A, B, or C reason. I know it's painful because it's happened to us several times. In fact, 2018, or was it 19? I want to say it was maybe end of 2018, sometime beginning 2019, we hit a stretch. We hit like a 2-3 month period where probably half the deals that we were getting under contract were falling through, right? And some of those deals were already locked up on the B2C side with cash buyers, and we were just waiting to close. And some of them we were in the process of marketing. And it's extremely painful when you already have it, you know, you have the deal sold with a cash buyer, you get a contract with them, or you assign it, and you're just waiting on title work or whatever the case might be. There's several, that's extremely painful. And if I remember correctly, it was during that 3 month period, it was well into the six figures, somewhere to the tune of $130,000 to $160,000 in lost revenue. That's paper revenue, but it's nonetheless, it's lost revenue. And the first two or three times, you know, I one of my mistakes was I didn't immediately, when the first one happened, I didn't immediately jump in there to see what happened. And it was a variety of reasons that it fell through. In one case, they changed their mind. They no longer wanted to sell. They wanted to stay in the property. In another case, we got some BS excuse that just smelled kind of funny. And then we found out that they actually received a higher offer and ended up signing a contract with another wholesaler. The only reason we found out was because we got that wholesaler's email. And then we had to have a phone call with that wholesaler. And you know, it got a little bit hairy, right? And we have great relationships here locally, and they understood. But, you know, it becomes tricky and hairy. And one of the things that we did was, you know, I got together with my acquisition manager at the time. And I asked him, I said, hey, are you stress testing the deal? And if you've never heard that phrase or that term, stress testing the deal is either before or after you come to an agreement with someone. You want to throw out some feelers and you want to quote unquote stress test it. One of the things that we would do is, you know, before we sign the contract, we would hit the pause button on the deal. And once we get confirmation that the seller wants to move forward, you know, we explain the process, we explain what's about to happen, but we hit a pause. And one of the questions that we'll ask is, you know, hey, Mr. Seller, look forward to working with you. No, look forward to XYZ, whatever the situation might be, whatever their pain point or challenge is. Look forward to, you know, helping you get past this time, this and that. Before we move forward here, you know, what's going to happen from here, if we do agree to move forward, is, you know, we're going to go ahead and put our deposit in escrow with the title company. We're going to go ahead and order the title and the lien search, and that cost X amount of dollars. And we start to like just lay out for them everything that we're going to do on our end. And we'll say to them, you know, we're 100% committed to make sure that we close on or before the agreed upon, you know, scheduled closing date, and to make sure that you get your money on the day of closing. Do you prefer a check or a wire? You know, most of the time they're going to say wire, whatever the case is. And what we're doing is we're planting a seed. We're getting them. We're hitting the fast forward button. We want them to already see, feel, taste, and touch what it's going to be like to close and to get that money. So we start planting these seeds. You know, we start dropping these breadcrumbs, so to speak. And we'll say, you know, so we're 100% committed to, you know, to making sure that this is a smooth transaction, and to make sure that this deal closes. Do you feel like you're 100% committed here? Usually they're going to say yes. If they don't say yes, then that's good from the perspective that you don't have a strong deal in place. You need to go back to square one, two, and three, and you need to rework this. Because one of the worst things you can have is a seller that agrees and then has remorse. Again, ask me how I know this. But once they say, yeah, I'm committed to the deal, we'll follow up and say, well, let me ask you this. Do you see any reason that you might not want to go through with this after we take care of the paperwork here, we send everything to the title company? Do you see any reason before closing that you might not want to follow through with this? Anything other than no, I don't see anything other than if they say anything like, well, I'd have to talk to my grandmother. I'd have to, if I get a call and I get a higher offer, like anything other than no, you've just stress tested the deal. The deal's under a lot of stress. Stop, do not go, you know, don't collect $200, and you need to go back and rework this deal, and you need to make sure that they're 100% bought in. In fact, one of the ways that you can do this is we used to strategically share a story or two about a year or two ago, how we worked with a seller and we agreed to move forward and we opened up escrow and we ordered title and lien. And we basically like just took the seller through a story of us working with another seller in the past that ultimately decided they didn't want to move forward. And let's just say that the story illustrates the pain that was involved for the seller in not moving forward. Now, we didn't necessarily say that, hey, we had to sue the seller and all this, but we basically outlined how inconvenient it was for the seller, you know? And so think of, I don't want you to make anything up. I would never tell you to do that, but think if you have any stories that you can share with a seller you're about to do a deal with that would illustrate to them why it's in their best interest to move forward and not back out. And you may want to just be very blunt and say, look, you know, this seller, we already had a lot of time and money into this and we were committed to the deal. They told us they were committed to us and they ended up getting a higher offer from somebody else. And, you know, they went back on their word. And then, you know, we had to get our attorney involved and it just got a little bit uncomfortable, right? And so you want to say it in a very like, kind of like nonchalant, non-aggressive way. And, you know, and then you might want to even say something to the effect of like, look, this is what's called previewing what's ahead. And so we would actually tell the seller and we would say, you know, look, it's probably, you know, what's probably going to happen. You might have some people call you about wanting to buy your property. You might have some people send you some more letters that say, hey, we buy houses and promising you the world. You might even have some people that knock on your door. If that were to happen, and let's say, you know, somebody offers you a lot more money or they offer you a little bit more money, how do you think you would handle that? And just bite your tongue and shut up, right? You want to see how they respond to that. That's another way to stress test a deal. If they say anything like, well, I guess it depends. If they offer me more money, like, again, pause, stop, do not go and collect $200. Just don't do it because the chances are pretty high that that deal is going to fall apart on you. And better to know now than in the future after you've marketed the property, you got a buyer, you got a buyer's deposit in, you're about to go to closing, you pay for a title and lien search, and everything that goes involved in making sure the transaction coordination side of the business. So it's super important that you stress test a deal. Hopefully I've made that point very, 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 very clear. The other thing you can do is if you have a team and you have an acquisitions manager, that's why I'm such a big advocate of the weekly level 10 meetings or your daily huddles, because it gives you an opportunity to get an update on the deals that you're about to get under contract or your acquisition manager is about to get under contract, and also the deals that that you have under contract. You want to make sure that whoever's in charge of communicating with sellers, for us, it was our transaction coordinator, and she did a phenomenal job. And you know, probably twice a week, in some cases, 3-4 times a week, she was maintaining contact with the seller, maintaining contact with the buyer, if there was a realtor involved, the title company. Her job was to ensure a smooth closing. So whenever our dispositions manager got the property locked up under contract with what's called the B2C buyer, right, the cash buyer, she would take it from there and she would be like the glue to all the parties in the transaction. That's another thing. Make sure that whoever's in charge of that is maintaining constant communication with the parties involved. You do not want to assume, you don't want to come to an agreement with someone in writing, send it to the title company, and then boom, that's it. Just expect that you're going to call them a day before closing and everything's going to be good. Do not assume that people are on the same page. You know, you got to check in with them. You got to reassure them of their decision. Going back to stress testing the deal, another thing we would do is we would ask them, you know, let me ask you a question here before we move forward. Why does this make sense for you? Why are you ultimately deciding that you want to work with us? And what that question is doing, it's validating, it's reaffirming their decision in moving forward, right? And you can even do that after they sign the contract. Hey, listen, now that it's over, you know, we're going to make sure that this is a smooth transaction for you. I'm just curious, why did you, of all the people that have reached out to you, what was it about us that made you, you know, want to move forward? right? Now, some people, you might be thinking to yourself like, well, no, I'm not going to do that. Like, I don't want to give them any second, I don't want to plant any seeds of doubt or make them second guess themselves. I can tell you, you're not going to do that. 9 out of 10 times, they're going to sell themselves and tell you why they chose you and why this is the right time to do this. Hey, Mr. Seller, you know, why was now a good time to move forward, you know, and why did you decide to work with us? They're going to sell themselves again. And it's that whole thing of when somebody comes to a decision on their own, they're significantly more likely to follow through versus if you try to influence them or persuade them or, God forbid, manipulate them, right? Hopefully nobody listens to the show would ever consider doing anything like that. But you always want the seller to come to the decision on their end. What you're doing is you're being an advisor. You're being you're kind of guiding them. And if it means that they shouldn't sell their property and or maybe you're not the best fit for them, then great. Like, you need to let them know that, and better that you know now versus later. So those are just some things that you want to do to stress test the deal. But just to kind of wrap up the last thought I was on is make sure that you keep your finger on the pulse of your team. If you have an acquisitions manager, a lead manager, somebody responsible for working with these sellers, getting these properties under contract, and you want to make sure that they're stress testing the deal before and after. Here's kind of a bonus tip. I was planning on leaving this for another episode, but a bonus tip is if you have a transaction coordinator or if you have somebody on your team, and if you don't, it could be you, call the seller back a day later and thank them for their time. We always send a thank you, a handwritten thank you note. Call them back and stress test it one more time, but in a little bit of a different way, right? So this is how you can increase the rate of getting contracts and actually getting them to the closing table. You don't want to assume that if you get the property under contract, it's going to get to the closing table. There's seller's remorse is a real thing. People, shady operators in your market, might go around you and offer more. We've been in that situation. We've been in that position. And so the stronger bond that you have, the stronger rapport you have with the seller, coupled with your ability to stress test a deal in the various ways that I've outlined on this episode, the more likely that you're going to actually get that deal to the closing table. So that's all I got for you on today's show. I got to bounce. I'm going to go grab some dinner with the family. And I'm actually going to be next week in Charlotte. I'm going to be at a self-storage mastermind with a bunch of just awesome people and strengthening relationships and just acquiring some content. But really, it's about the relationships. I have all the content and information I need. It's a matter of just relationships and execution. And chances are the same applies for you. If you're listening to the show, even if you've done, I don't care if you've done hundreds or thousands of deals or if you're about to do your first deal, chances are you have enough information. It's a lack of execution that might be preventing you from getting to where you want to go. So with that being said, I'm going to go ahead and take off here. I'm going to sign off and I look forward to connecting with you on episode 502. I got an awesome guest, somebody that I'm now working with and who gets really, really transparent about his story. And I think it's going to connect with you in many ways. So have an amazing day. Reach out to me, alex@flipempire.com, and connect with me on social, at alexpardo25 on Instagram. You can find me on Facebook, and let's connect, all right? Have an amazing one. I will talk to you soon. Hope you enjoyed that episode. But before you go, you know, I've had a lot of people recently reach out to me wanting to learn more about Ascend, wanting to understand how the mastermind component works, how the coaching relationship works. And so right now we're actually on a waiting list. But what I would encourage you to do is if you think you're the right fit and you think you could benefit from being a part of our community, head over to ascendyoursuccess.com, watch the short video, and then just click the apply to join button below. And then we'll be in contact with you if and when a spot opens up. So really appreciate you listening to Flip Empire here, and I look forward to connecting with you on the next show. Take care.